For those of you who are still on the job working, and for those of you who are now retired, I'll ask you to remember back to when you were working. Have you or did you ever notice that when you are anticipating your upcoming holidays, you have a different outlook on life? You work harder, you're able to forgive quicker, things are not as big a deal, allowing you to put up with things easier. You're more gracious, you're happier, you're just different, all because you know you're leaving soon on holidays. Soon you will be in a joyful setting, just resting. Now your job has not changed, your circumstances have not changed on the job. You're doing all the same stuff that you were doing before and that you've always done. The same stuff that has caused you stress and grief, you're still doing. But now it's different because you're going on a holiday. So your approach or your mindset or your worldview has changed while you're in the same circumstances. I strongly believe that this is the kind of effect that knowing and growing in knowing God can have on us all the time. Everything changes when we know God according to His self-revelation from the Bible. We can face anything because of God. We are in Him and He is God. As was mentioned last week, God is so great that we will never fully understand Him. He is infinite, which means He has no limits with anything, not with space, time, His attributes, no limits compared to us who are finite people, meaning we have numerous limits. How could we ever fully know the one with no limits? How could that thought alone not stop us all the time in amazement and in wonder? That in itself is a life-altering truth. How can't we live restful lives as if every tomorrow we were going on a holiday? We are safe in His hands. We are children of the unlimited God. Whatever we face is never a challenge for God. Whatever we face, we are never outside of His loving presence and His loving care. But sadly, many Christians, many of us, spend very little time studying and reading and wondering about our amazing God, who He is. We'll spend hours and hours at work, or parenting, or on social media, or on Netflix, or on pondering ourselves in our own situations. We'll spend hours on recreation, but very little on the wonderful God from His Word. He is unlimited. He's amazing. All our problems and struggles, all our solutions, all our joys are theological issues. All of them. Who God is affects and changes every thought and action we make. He is reality. His reach is everywhere and in everything. If He is ignored, then everything we look at and do is done in a superficial and unrealistic way. Why? Because there is one God, and everything is about Him, not about us. Our only importance is that we are made in His image and He sees us as valuable, purely out of His good pleasure, not out of anything about us. So in this series, we want to spend time looking at who God is. And I encourage you to work hard at bringing these truths into whatever you're facing in your life. Work them into how you live and how you are thinking. This is not a time of me providing you with information because it's Sunday and I have to provide you with some information. What we are going through is a description of the one who we say we love, a description of the one that we worship, who saved us, the one we say is our life. This is about God. So together, let's put effort into listening and thinking and remembering and applying what we hear to who God is and to our life tomorrow morning as we gear up for another week, whatever it brings. So let's join our hearts together in prayer and then get into this. Father, it is difficult for us when we leave here or we leave our brothers and sisters to remember who you are and to live according to who you are and who we are found in you. That is hard. So we ask, Lord, that you would change how we function and how we think and how we feel. That it would start and finish with you. So this, what we're going through here this morning, Lord, we are dependent on you to seal it in our hearts, in our minds, so that we live from this truth, these truths of who you are. Please bless us in this way and glorify yourself in this way, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So many people around the world believe that the world just came into being. This can be called self-creation. The universe created itself. Some scientists say that this happened 13 billion years ago. I love it when these numbers get thrown out. How do they know it's 13 billion and not 12,871 million years ago? Like, what's a million years when you're dealing with a... Anyway, many scientists believe that the universe exploded into existence 13 billion years ago. It's referred to as the Big Bang Theory. Energy and life and the ability of life began at that explosive event. Before that Big Bang, there was nothing. And then there was. So an intelligent, terrifically detailed and designed universe came about spontaneously from an explosion. The universe created itself. That's what this idea is. Now, some very smart thinkers see this theory as totally illogical, and I would agree, although my level of intelligence would mean nothing to them, nor does it give credibility to this argument at all. So, but it's illogical, they say, because something can't come from nothing. Nothing can't create something. We know from science that everything that exists started with a cause. A cause brought it into existence. This is the law of cause and effect, or the law of causality. Something happened that caused an effect. Add to this the law of inertia, which says objects in motion tend to stay in motion unless acted upon by an outside force. And objects at rest, they stay at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. So my Bible stays there on the podium unless I move it. It stays at rest until me, this outside force, acts upon it and moves it. Does that make sense? Okay. So, if a cause is needed for there to be an effect, and if an outside force is needed to put something into motion, then what caused the Big Bang in the Big Bang Theory? What caused the bang in the Big Bang Theory? That's fun to say. What was the effect that caused the explosion? What outside force acted upon whatever was there, causing the universe to come into being? The Big Bang Theory, which is put forward to account for the universe, requires something to possess the power in and of itself to act upon whatever was there. This must mean that something with power had to exist before anything was brought into existence. Something had to have life in and of itself. Something had to self-exist before the existence of the universe. Are you tracking with me? If I can get this, anybody can get this, because my science, it was so poor in school. And this I'm tracking with this. So atheists and some scientists have some of this right. This extraordinary universe did come about out of nothing. But there was someone who was there before the universe who created the universe out of nothing. And I'll give you a hint of who this is. He exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is not like creation. He is not like humans. God is completely independent. He has always been completely independent. He has no origin. We can't even use that word origin with God, because origin describes the beginning, the inception of something or someone. And God did not begin. He was not made. He did not come into being. He did not come from a source. He was not caused by something. God is totally, totally unique. He has always existed. He has self-existence. He has aseity. That's a new word for me. My vocabulary has grown to 350 words. I'm getting smarter as I'm getting older. He has aseity. Aseity means he exists by his own power. In and of himself is why he exists. He has existence in and of himself. Again, as last week, when we looked at how God is not limited by space and time, we looked at Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. God already existed before creation. In eternity past, there was only God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The parallel to Genesis 1:1 is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. God the Son, Jesus Christ, was already before the beginning. There was never a time that God didn't exist. If there was a time he didn't exist, that would mean he was brought into existence, that he was created, which means he wouldn't be God because someone else created him. The God of the Bible, who revealed himself to real people in history, and they recorded this revelation, he has always been. No beginning, no end. Psalm 90, verse 2. Puts it this way: before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Everlasting past to everlasting future, he has always been. A phrase describing God, which we are familiar with, comes from Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And that verse there, God points to his complete independence and self-existence, his eternity. When God told Moses to go to the Israelites and begin his mission that God had commissioned him, Moses asked, "Who should I say sent me?" In Exodus 3, verse 14 records this. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Jesus said the same type of thing in John 8, verse 58. "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, what's that all about? Was God just joking around with Moses? Was Jesus being sarcastic? What was going on there? Some say, "I am who I am" is an impossible phrase to interpret. It's hard because people always think in terms of defining ourselves by outside definitions. I am dad, I'm a pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a dancer, I'm an Instagram celebrity. All those outside, external things, that's where our definition comes from. Even when we define ourselves correctly, We don't find our identity in our hearts or in ourselves. We define ourselves according to an outside source, according to the Bible, according to God. And the Bible tells us that we are created in the image of God, and we are God's children saved by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is our identity. So defining our existence, even just defining our me being here, my existence, we also point to an outside source. We point to air, food, water, our parents, ultimately God. So all of these pointing to our existence and pointing to our identity as people, we point outside of ourselves. We don't go inside of ourselves for those things, for that description, for the reason for having identity, for the reason of having existence. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't get his identity from outside himself or his existence from outside sources. His identity, his existence is strictly in and from himself. In general, that's what he was saying with Moses and that phrase, I am who I am. You know, trying to figure out what that phrase exactly means is difficult because the Hebrew word translated I am is a verb, an action. And it's used in other passages of the Bible as a past, a present, and a future action. It's not locked into one. So it's along the lines of I am as I have been, as I am, as I will be. Or even more loosely, I will be what I will be. Whatever the exact meaning is, one thing is clear. God wants us to know that he alone determines his character and his existence. He completely operates according to himself, completely independent and free, dependent on nothing, dependent on no one, no constraints. One scholar says it this way, he will be who he decides to be. He will do what he decides to do. God is radically free, free to be and do whatever he chooses. Isn't that awesome? That's God. People can never, ever do that. The world promotes the message over and over again. You're free to decide to be and do whatever you want. No, that's not true. That's not true. Scripture tells us that without Christ, everyone is a slave to sin. Slaves are not free. They do what their master wants. God is radically free. He's dependent on nothing. He's responsible to no one. He's accountable to no one. He's influenced by no one. And he is in need of nothing and no one. Even if creation didn't exist, he would still be exactly who he is because he exists because he is God. Regardless of anything, he has aseity. He has self-existence. He cannot disappear because something bad happened to him. His existence is never in jeopardy. He has existence in and of himself. He was not created. Actually, he's the uncreated creator who created everything from nothing. Revelation 4, verse 11. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. God created because he wanted to. And he could because he possesses existence and gives existence. Speaking about Jesus, John 1, verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God the Son, the self-existent God and creator. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. We exist because God willed it. And we are important and significant only because we exist for God, and God says that we are important and significant. Not only does everything find its source and existence in God, everything finds its continuance in him. He sustains all. Colossians 1:17, speaking of Jesus. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hebrews 1:3, again of Jesus. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. God existed before creation. All creation comes from him and is dependent on him. Its existence is conditional on his sustaining work on all creation. Everything is dependent on him. Nothing is independent of him. Yet his existence is independent of everything. Without God, we are nothing and can't exist. Without us, God is still God and exists in the same holy bliss he has always existed in. Isn't he amazing? He is amazing. Sin is rejecting God as creator and sustainer of all. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So we saw equality with God as something we could attain. And so we rejected our dependence on God as if we could, but we rejected him as God anyway. And we replaced him with dependence on ourselves, making ourselves our own God, which brought death and ends in death. Sin is so deceitful. We can claim that all creation is dependent on God, but in our hearts, me personally, how I live and function, I can hold tight to the belief that I am the center of the universe. I am the center of my world, and I am independent of everything. That's a lie. There is no one like God. That's what the Bible is telling us. Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 11. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purposes. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Brothers and sisters, there is no one like God. He is eternal, no beginning, no end. He is self-existing. He is the everlasting now with no past, present, or future. Yet he is in the past, present, and future. He is the eternal, uncreated God. This is a big deal. Everything we deal with, everything around us has a beginning and an end, but not God. He's not going anywhere. Nothing is going to happen to him. He is the self-existing one who has always been, and he's the only one who can bring anything into existence and sustain its existence. He's not common. He's not ordinary. He's not your buddy down the street. He's not like everything else in this universe. He's not a grandpa sitting on a chair with a beard and stumped by things that come up and dependent and needy for you to love him. He's independent of everything. He is amazing, amazing. Just think of a few of his attributes. I tried thinking of this, and I'm not that smart, but I was trying to wrap my brain around some of his attributes that he has that exist because he exists and he has existence. So I'll try. If it's confusing, I'm sorry. But think of his unlimitedness from last week. He's never started, and he will never stop being unlimited. He is that way in and of himself. He exists from himself. His unlimitedness is who he is. His unlimitedness comes from him. That's who he is. It's not that he has unlimitedness. It's that he is unlimited in who he is. Nothing's impossible for him. That's who he is. Look at his love for his children, his love for those who are in Christ. It exists in and of himself for us. It's not based on my good behavior. It's based and comes from him. This is a crazy thought, but look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I don't hear pages turned. Does nobody have a Bible? Bring your Bible. I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So God's love for his children in Christ was already in eternity past. His mercy, his grace, his care, all of it was in God already for us before we arrived in the flesh. How does that make sense? I don't know. His love, his mercy, his grace, his care for us didn't start and it won't end. It exists in and of himself. He's that amazing. This world falls in and out of love for people. God didn't fall in love with you, and he is surely not going to fall out of love with you. He's that big and amazing. How do we describe that in our little finite minds? We can't. We try, and we get to a point where we go, wow. He's way bigger than I think he is. Yet we are so obsessed with our lives, obsessed with this world. I get involved in things and I get overwhelmed. Oh, this is going to sink us. Oh, we're done. We're done. Pack it in. Pack up the U-Haul, move back to Winnipeg. We're done. We're done. We are so impressed by people, by things. We want to emulate and go the way of being impressed by what the world has to offer and what the flesh offers. And we get our eyes off the holy, unlimited, self-existent God. He's eternal. And he gets very little of our time. We don't strive to be like he wants us to be. We are so impressed with the unimpressive, yet unimpressed with the impressive one, the eternal God. It's not to be that way. We are in the world, but not of the world. Our lives are meant to be focused and obsessed with the Heavenly Father, who can't be stopped or hindered because nothing adds to or takes away from his existence. Brothers and sisters, this magnificent, self-existing God is who we belong to, is who we worship, is who is on our side, is who we are spending eternity with. When we spend time thinking about him, we will be in amazement and wonder of who he is. And we will not be so impressed by ourselves and so distracted by the world. We won't be so obsessed with ourselves and our needs and our feelings and our lives. That stuff will get pushed out as we bring the truth into our thinking and into our hearts. Because as we know him more, our love and worship for him will grow. Church, this is who God is. This is who he is. Tomorrow is always a holiday. Always. We belong to him. What is impossible for the one who has existence and exists because he wants to exist? This is God. This is who we worship. This is who you're going to wake up tomorrow morning belonging to. This is who you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and who you are going to face your day with. This is God. Here he is. Let that penetrate our hearts and our minds so that we are changed and we lose ourselves in him so that we actually find ourselves in him. Let this be so of us. Let's pray together and then celebrate communion. Father, you are too wonderful. You're beyond description, as we were singing. Beyond description. Even these little scrapes that I made here of who you are, that there's so much more to you. Father, please. You see our thoughts right now and our feelings. You know how we're processing what we've just heard. You know that some are just dismissing this outright as silly. You know that others are like, what? He's way bigger than that. What? Oh, Lord, draw us to yourself. Renew our minds with your truth. Renew our minds and our hearts with wonder of who you are. Do your work in us, Lord. We ask. We are dependent on you to please change us. Don't leave us the same. We are so impressed by the latest iPhone and the latest car and the latest this and latest that. Oh, Lord, we're so easily impressed. And then here we have your word describing who you are. Oh, please help us to have a hunger, a growing hunger, to know you better and then to function our lives according to who you are and us found in you. Let this be so, Lord. Let this be so of Calvary Baptist Church. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.